Welcome to another episode of Oversaturated, the podcast, where we discuss music, movies, pop culture, and everything in between. I'm Johnny.
And I'm Ralph.
Welcome to special episode number 14.
14! Pete Rose?
Pete Rose.
Yeah, he was number 14. All-time hit leader. I know he got banned from baseball for, you know, the betting and all that, but fuck all that.
still got the accolades, right?
Don't even right, exactly. Right.
New listeners, please follow us on all social media. Facebook, just search Oversaturated the Podcast. Twitter is Oversat Podcast. Instagram is Oversat the Podcast. And our email is oversatpodcast@gmail.com. And our website, oversatthepod.com. Anything you need to know about OS is located there.
Yes, sir. If you want to follow us individually, I'm the Mind of Raph on Instagram and Twitter.
Twitter, I'm J-O-N, two underscores, the letter B. Instagram, I'm J-B-S underscore E-S-L underscore A-A-M-U.
Yes, and I know you probably heard another voice, but that is our very special guest, recording artist and podcaster, but first recording artist, definitely. We got Fresh C in the building. Say what's up to the people, Fresh.
What's going on, everybody? How y'all feeling?
Man, doing all right, man. Man, it's like another day in this, another day in the pandemic, but you know, we're surviving. What about yourself, brother?
I'm doing pretty much the same. Let me ask y'all a question though. What day are you guys on right now? Do you even know yet? That's a good question.
Yeah, because it's weird because you know, we're in St. Louis and he's in Arizona, but the thing is, like, they're starting to open up stuff. So I don't really know anymore. Like, I'm so confused because certain things are open, certain things aren't. I'm still confined to my house. I'm still working at home. So
yep, same. I've been home since the end of March. Since like the last week of March, I've been in the house. Yes. That's all I got for you.
that's fair enough. Fair mm-hmm. enough for me. I was just curious because, like, you know, everybody has their different numbers right now, and like, yeah, you know, like Arizona right now is the hotspot. I ain't going nowhere. I'm not going to check the mail. I'm not going to say hi to my neighbor. I'm scared right now. Arizona's the worst state right now. As of like 2 days ago, we had was it like 2,200 new cases a day or something like that?
What?
Yeah, look it up.
Wow. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
nuts.
Yeah. I heard things like kind of popping off in Texas and Florida. I didn't hear about Arizona, but that's wild. I didn't know that.
Right.
Yep. That's why when I go outside, I'm, you know, because I love to stay active, but yeah. Thankfully, you know, I'm a hustler at heart. And before all this stuff happened, I went on Craigslist and yard sales and all that and got all kinds of gym equipment. So I got it back in the shed, so I'm straight.
But I was lit.
That's what's up.
Yeah, so I don't cut the middleman.
You good, right? Yeah. You good.
Right. Know what I mean? But shoot, the only time I see the sun is like 5 o'clock in the morning. So, you know, just try to just keep to myself. It's scary out here.
Yeah. Man, I feel that. I was thinking earlier, I know this is super random, but I haven't worn a belt since March.
Bro, I'm in ball shorts right now.
Right.
Like, listen, because I work in the office. I'm an accountant, so I have to, you know, I have to dress up when I go to work. But it's like I haven't had to do that, so I'm in tennis shorts and t-shirts every day. Like that's all I wear. It's crazy.
Man. Same here.
It's paradise for me.
House shoes, right? Right.
Paradise, right?
Like I really they talking about reopening our office after June 29th. Like I'm not trying to go back. Like I don't want to go back. Yeah. Like I'm comfortable. I like my office setup. I'm comfortable here. So it's crazy. It's crazy.
I hear you on that.
But no, brother Fresh, we appreciate you for coming on and reaching out, man. It's a truly an honor. But we gotta ask you, like, you got a project coming out soon. We gotta get into that. It's dropping at midnight of actually the day of this recording, but what's the name of it? What can people kind of expect from it?
It's called My Head Gets Loud. So just kind of like since we touched on the quarantine situation, originally mm-hmm. I was supposed to be on tour right now, actually two tours. Of course, that's not happening. Basically, I already had other projects lined up and a tour lined up, two tours. And since those all caved in, I was stuck in my house. I was like, you know what? I don't feel like the music that I already had completed would fit right now. Nobody wants to hear that, you know? So I basically, since, you know, being confined to the house, I created this lo-fi hip hop cinematic audio experience. So it's like De La Soul meets Logic's Incredible True Story meets Public Enemy on a Wednesday and Ice Cube on a Sunday.
Okay.
With like some cool skits from Netflix. Like literally like some comic book shit.
Okay.
It's really different. It's really different. And it's just so different that at first I didn't know how my fans were even going to take the singles. I was like, man, they're going to dog on me. But it just came from the heart and it was just kind of like how I felt. But then there's an underlying story about it. It's actually, there's characters. It's all cartoony. I did all the artwork. Okay. I did everything.
Everything
from beats, artwork, except for one instrumental and then one feature. The rest of it from the script, storyline, plot. I did it on 68.7 hours. So I knocked it all out in 3 days, basically.
Okay.
It ended up charting in Tokyo in Japan. Okay. So it ended up, it ended up being real crazy. So I'm just really excited. It comes out literally midnight tonight, you know, when we're filming the pod. So there's a lot of cool stories behind it, but ultimately, to just like level it all out, generalizing, it's basically, I talk about things that people are afraid to talk about, but instead of making it about me, I made it about you. So you might hear the record and it'll take you somewhere for yourself. And then Johnny, it's going to take you somewhere else. Mm-hmm. It's going to take me somewhere else. So everybody that listens to it is going to have their own interpretation and perspective on it instead of just Fresh C's perspective.
Right. Nice. That's dope. The fact that you literally did everything except for one instrumental in 3 days, because I'm looking at the album art now and this album art is pretty dope. I love like the cartoon look and feel of it. But it's you. I assume this is you with your face and your palms, right?
It's definitely me.
Talk to us about some of the tracks here. What was your favorite track to record on this album?
Spaceship, track number 4 is my favorite. That's the one that ended up hitting in Tokyo, random as hell. And when I mean random as hell, it couldn't be any more random than that. I had to get a translator to actually okay the record to be on in Japan. That's how crazy it was.
Oh, wow.
But I'm very grateful and super appreciative, because had I not made this project, you know, I wouldn't have garnered all those fans. It's pretty wild.
Right.
Yeah,
that's dope, man. That's super dope. We'll play it. We'll play it for the listeners at the end of this episode.
Okay.
Yeah, man. But just kind of thinking about like your journey throughout just being an artist, like where would you say, like, I'm trying to think how I really want to phrase this. Like, well, let's just do a basic question. How long you been rapping? Like, before we get a little bit too deep.
I would have to say I started when I was 7 years old. So I've been doing this for, I would say not professional, but writing and making music about 25 years.
Okay. You
know, I'm not going to say my age, but I'm a lot older. But about 25 years, as far as professional, 10 for sure.
Okay.
What made you realize this is something you wanted to do professionally?
To be honest, like growing up in California, like it saved my life. That's the best way I could put it, is it showed me a different path that I didn't even know was that could be a reality. And man, the rest is history. I'm just very thankful. I had one friend in the neighborhood that I lived at. It was like everybody called it the melting pot, because I'm biracial, but my father's Hispanic, so of course that's the side that I roll with. My best friend was half Black, half Hispanic. So we stuck together because we didn't get along no matter where we went. It's a little bit different being biracial, because, you know, me being half Caucasian, I'm not white enough for the white kids. I'm not Latino enough for my brown homies. So it's like you're fucked. You know what I'm saying? Like this was back in the 90s when like segregation was a real fucking thing. And so the worst part about it at that time was just like, bro, just trying to make it. So where I lived, it was Asian cats, brothers, and Latinos. And my mom being, my mother being Caucasian, she was the whitest thing on that those people on my street had ever seen. But it was cool though. Like, you know what I mean? Like it was cool, but I was literally the only biracial kid in a 10-mile radius where I'm from. So it's kind of like the mixture of Eminem's story and then slash Royce the 5'9". Like it's real, like where I lived was like really like just imagine Detroit minimalized.
Okay.
It's basically where it's at. Like, yeah, it's wild.
Damn. That's a hell of a backstory.
Right.
It's unbelievably true, man. That's all I can say is it's unfucking believably true. But I'm thankful for it because had I not grew up the way that I did, I wouldn't be who I am.
So yeah.
I definitely embrace every bit of the struggle and I'm appreciative for it.
That's dope.
Yeah, now, if you could point to one definitive rap album that kind of made you say, hey, this is the one that's going to make me, you know, kind of steer toward this path. Like you said, been rapping since you were seven, so kind of give us a...
I'll give you a couple. Nas is Illmatic, definitely. Big Daddy Kane. Can't even remember the album name. Man, that's terrible. All right, skip that. I can't remember the album name. That's strike one for me. Outkast, Southern Playlistic Cadillac Music.
Okay.
And Tupac's Me Against the World. Those would probably be my three albums.
Nice. That's dope. Damn, I wasn't ready for the Big Daddy Kane.
I didn't think you were ready.
You're supposed to be on a couple tours this year, and I'm sure you've toured in the past. Where are some of the favorite places for you that you've toured in the past?
Ironically, Wisconsin, Eau Claire, Wisconsin was the first time I sold out a show in a place that I knew absolutely nobody. That was a definite blessing. Poughkeepsie, New York is a good one. And let's just throw a wild card. And shit, South Dakota. South Dakota wow. And Ohio. And the only reason why is an opener that I had, I thought it was so cool. We should have got kicked out because there are some rowdy fans and they got a little too crazy drinking. And they decided to get on stage. And I don't do all that. Like, I'm cool. We could be cool and you know, we could agree to disagree. But when somebody puts hands on me, like, I guess that's probably the only negative effect of coming where I'm from is just physical altercation. It's automatic green light without thinking. Mm-hmm. And I struck first, ask questions later. You know, when somebody's jumping on the stage and like everybody's rowdy, it's just, I don't do well with that. So, but they didn't kick us out. They gave us a pass and it was cool. And it was their city. You know what I mean? I'm a guest in their city.
So. Right. But I mean, that's understandable though. If you're up there performing, it's like you're there to provide a show. So if somebody comes to interrupt that, it's like, wait, what's happening? Because, you know, you're not expecting that. So I get it.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm just not one of those kinds of people. Like, I'm not eccentric. I don't, you know, like if we're cool and like we dap up and hug, like, hey, that's cool. But if I don't know you, oh man, we got to keep that pandemic for life.
Yes. Yeah, that 6 feet, that social distance.
You were social distancing before it was a thing. Like, I get it.
Now, Fresh, you are an all around creative. Like, you just pretty much told us that you're a producer, you are a rapper. And you're a podcaster as well. Now, where do you find like the balance in all that? You know,
I mean, I'm gonna be truthful. Uh-huh. There really kind of is no balance for me.
Okay.
You know, I'm a retired firefighter EMT. So once I started to make enough, and I saved all my pension and a lot of money right throughout years. Mm-hmm. Just so I could pursue music. So 2017 was my first quote unquote like nothing but music professional years. So it's literally 3 years without 9 to 5,
okay.
Which believe it or not, is the scariest shit anybody will, you know, that if you walk that line, it's scary as fuck. Because, you know, like, you're the only person that's in control of your losses or your wins. So if you fall flat on your face, like this pandemic thing, if you don't have that willpower, I know a few people that ain't just doing rapping right now that are a lot bigger than me. You know what I mean? Like behind the scenes doing shit, you know, like Uber and Lyft, which is cool.
OnlyFans. OnlyFans.
That's no lie. I'm sure we all know somebody. Get your hustle on. But for me, when I left that 9 to 5, I'm never going back. Okay. I would die before I go back. So as far as balance, right now it's a little wild, but I'm just being real. You know what I mean? Like, I'm my only machine right now. So until I can, you know, get to a certain, I wouldn't even say a certain point, but around maybe one or two people that make sense to add that, you know, can take on that responsibility and that trust. I'm sure you guys know trust is fucking huge. Like, yeah. You ain't just going to let some random ass dude become the manager of your podcast, not knowing what the fuck this guy's motive is. You know what I mean?
Very true.
It's like, here's all my hard work. And, you know, and they could just go fuck it up in a day. So, to be clear, I really don't have a balance. That's probably something that I really lack right now, to be honest.
That's interesting. I'm sure there are very few people that can operate that way. So to hear you actually talk about it is, to me, it's actually pretty dope. Cause I know I wouldn't be able to. Cause, but that's just me though. I feel like you have to have a certain type of mentality to be able to operate the way that you do. So that's dope. That's dope as hell.
Yeah. I appreciate it. Like, I mean, to anybody that's out there, you know, including yourselves, like, I don't know what background you guys come from, but everybody's got a story, you know, and my story is simply, I know what it's like to have nothing. So anything that I ever earned, I do my best to keep it because, you know, if you've been somewhere in a bad place or a bad spot or grew up, you know, rougher than the next guy, like, you know what it's like to go through hardships. And me, I never even really got to be a kid, to be quite frank with you. Like, because you got to think, like, if you're 7, 8 years old and you're watching out for 12, you're watching out for rival gang members, you're watching out for your own neighborhood. Like, it does something to your mentality because you're not worrying about books and raising your hand in class. You're worrying about making a home and making it to school. And if you made either one of those, that was a trophy that day.
Nice.
So it's just, for my mentality, I just always think, like, once I got away from that and, like, saved myself, I never wanted to end up in that predicament ever again. So I would just do everything to the extreme, man. Extreme. Nice.
Yeah.
Now that you talking about that actually makes the title of your podcast a little bit more understandable now. So the Hustler's Journal, right? Mm. How did you get into podcasting? What made you wanted to start podcasting?
I started in syndicated radio 4 years ago by accident. I got interviewed as an artist and I got asked to do like some live freestyles on the show. And for whatever reason, the fans, and this was on the native reservation. So you got to think, I'm not native, I'm Hispanic. So being a non-native and go to their area and be on the station was not heard of before. So it's just, imagine this. It's like 1,000-watt fucking light bulb going into the dark for a second. Cause this reservation is crazy. Top 10, like, you can look it up. It's in the top 10 deadliest native reservations in the US.
Damn.
And I got mad love there. And so people, their ratings were going way up and they're like, yo, come back for an interview. And I was like, yo, why don't you just give me my own show? They're like, okay, we'll give it to you. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I just got my own show.
Right. I was joking. Yeah. I was joking. Right.
Yeah, I'm like, oh shit. They're like, oh, come in tomorrow. I'm like, oh, all right, let me get my stuff together. And they're just like, the only thing you can't do is you can't self-promote your albums, records, stuff like that. And you can't have nothing with no cursing. You cuss or you self-promote, you're done. I was like, all right, cool. So to be quite frank, I just winged it off of just being myself. Okay. You know, just being flamboyant, semi-wild as fuck person. But I got love for the culture. So what I did is I would help other artists from all backgrounds to come in. A lot of them, it was their first interview. And I didn't give a shit where you're from, what side of town you're on, or what you look like, or what fucking church you go to. I was just trying to break people like I wish somebody would have broke me.
Yeah.
So I was getting people from all over the place. It was the first time that that Native Reservation ever seen a brother before, ever seen a real Mexican, like a real Tejano singer, all that kind of stuff. And so that's pretty much where it started, man, as far as podcasting. It ended up being the most successful show. But as we all know, success comes with downfalls too.
Yeah.
And
I
guess in a nutshell, they felt some type of way that my show catapulted a little bit better and then me not being native. So they started giving me scripts where I couldn't interview certain people. I couldn't interview hip hop artists no more. And it was all these rules. And finally I was like, let's just agree to disagree. And I'm just going to go and do a podcast so I can say whatever the fuck I want. But it's all love. Like I was like, thank you for the opportunity because it was like an internship.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what's up.
Dope.
Yeah, I didn't even get mad at it. I was just like, all right, cool. Shook their hand, looked them in the eye. And I think they were more blown away, like, oh, you know, this Mexican guy didn't get wild with us. He didn't throw shit in our tacos. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know.
Now it's funny. I guess with the current scape of hip hop and the way, like, you know, recording contracts and everything is set up. Would you prefer to just stay like an independent artist? I believe that you are. Or would you like, if some major kind of threw a, you know, nice little bag and promotional situational at you, would you entertain it or go with it?
I would only entertain, and this has happened a couple of times. I would only entertain a label if it was for PR, radio, and promotional services only. So it would be basically a partnership. It wouldn't be a record deal. I've had deals that I passed on because most of them are 360. A lot of the fees are recoupable. So if people don't know what those are out there, like if they give you money, that's bait. And if you take that bait, you got to pay that shit back. And you got to pay it back in interest if your record don't sell. And if your record don't sell, then you end up like some of my friends that were on major labels and you can't make no music.
Damn.
Yeah,
like, that's a real inside look, because I never would have known it. Like, I wouldn't have known it. That's crazy.
Yeah, I have a really, and I won't say his name, but I have a really good friend who was signed to Aftermath with Dre, who just got out of his deal just not too long ago. And he was there for 5.5 years. This young man, he's been on XXL, Sprite commercials, features with everybody you can imagine, from Crooked Eye to Royce the 5'9" to Eminem, but the record never came out. Dre, but the record never came out. Kendrick, but the record never came out. I've heard him, so I know it's real. And he was one of the dopest MCs, not just a rapper. He was one of the dopest MCs I ever met and ever personally knew. And he just got stuck, man. And it wasn't because of the deal necessarily. It's just they wanted him to really go commercial. And he was like, I can't sell myself out to completely change who I am.
Yeah.
And I respect that. I respect that because he's one of the only artists that I've ever seen. I mean, and despite me personally knowing him, that persevered despite all that. And continue dropping music. Most people just fall off or unfortunately like pass away or do something crazy or lose their mind or something.
Yeah.
He hung in there.
But one thing about, I guess, this current climate of music, you don't necessarily need the labels for the artists to promote music. Like, you have social media as a vacuum, you have streaming sites. So the records are there. You may not get the front page on Apple Music, but, you know, if somebody searches your name, they can find you. Like, it's not hard. So, no, I think I'm kind of knowing who you're speaking of, because he was on your podcast, but I won't give the name up. We'll let people go find the Hustle Journal. Listen to that interview over the Hustle Journals.
Facts. Now, mentioning that situation made me think of a question, something that I've heard on another podcast previously. So, Do you think it's more difficult for newer acts to break into the music industry now? Like before, you know, you needed a label to help push you, but now you have these social media sites, you have SoundCloud, where you can put your music out there for free. But there's such an influx of new artists. Do you think it's hard for a really, really dope artist to stick out?
Okay, no. I think it's really hard for a smart artist to get put on. I feel like the lack of knowledge for newer artists is easy because you're prey. They're looking for victims here. I hate to say how it is, but I've been at the round table meetings before, and I have other friends that have been in the same position. They're looking for prey. They're not going to fuck with somebody that has their shit straight, meaning paperwork, copyright, trademark, all that kind of stuff, or knowledge, or a lawyer. A lot of these guys don't even have lawyers. So you got to think, when they see a young woman or a young man who has awesome music, all they got to do is there's a database. It's literally a database. You can check somebody's digital footprint. A digital footprint is basically how they resonate within the world, like whether it's streams, followers, YouTube, all that stuff. It's like a digital resume. So they can go through your digital resume and be like, ah, he has no representation. So this is what we'll do. We'll send Shark Lawyer number one to hit him up, contact him, say this is this, and we want to get in touch with them. And all they see is the bag. They see tunnel vision.
Right, yeah, yeah.
When you think about it, like the story I was telling you about growing up, if I'd have saw a bag when I was coming up, oh, man, I hate to call myself out, but I would have caught that shit too.
I think a lot of us would.
Yeah.
Younger, because we would not have known better. Nobody would have been there to tell us, like, hey, that's not a smart deal to take, you know?
Yeah.
So that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, so I mean, just to answer your story, I just think it's easier for the novice artists that don't have the knowledge. It doesn't necessarily matter whether you're dope or not, to be honest, from what I've seen, from my perspective only. Because you could be dope and sell records by your damn self. You know what I mean?
True.
But if somebody throws a big bag in front of you, but you just don't know no better, those are the ones they snatch up. Like, look at a lot of these brand new rappers, like, Let's take it back 12, 13 years. Rappers like Mims. Where's Mims at? What happened to him? Young Jock. What happened to him?
You know, what I mean? Like, got a perm.
Loving hip hop.
Yeah, like, think about it. These are artists that were hot for a moment. And it wasn't like they're garbage at all. Like Rich Boy. Rich Boy was one of my favorite artists. And it was
Rich Boy. I really did like Rich Boy.
And it was just like, poof, he's gone. I was like, what the hell happened? Like, that's what I mean, though. That's like proving my point. Like, 10 years, like, what happened?
Yeah, and right now you see more of an influx of rappers or just artists across the board. And one thing I this is my personal critique of music right now. I just feel that they pluck artists from anywhere and put them in certain spaces, and they don't have like the artist development anymore. They're not ready. Like they, agreed. You know, because a lot of people have a lot of mental issues. You take them from being nobodies and they're famous the next day. Of course, they kind of crack under pressure, but some people built. Some people are built for it and some people aren't. That's just, you know, the harsh reality of it. I just see a lot of it with, you know, the current stars that we have now.
Then you got to think about it too, like you said, like mental health issues, like, you know, putting in perspective, no matter who you are, young kid, bright future, right? Has all the time in the world, but you put a bag in front of them and say, hey, I'm going to get you this. Yep. They're enticed by things now. It's like the things, car, women, drugs, all this shit.
Yep.
And they're like, oh my God, that's what so-and-so. I don't want to say I point blame, but I would say I criticize or would give constructive criticism to a lot of the newer artists because these kids are eating that shit up. You're talking you're not talking to me. I'm a grown man. So it's like, I don't listen to that shit. I already know the difference. Or y'all. But a 16-year-old don't know the difference.
Yeah.
So if you're telling kids that this is what it really is, then when they get a deal and they're telling them these things,
it's so many of them though. Like, it's just, and that's one thing I wanted to ask you about. Like the current state of hip hop, right? Like, We have, yeah. And I can tell we're all in maybe the same age range, so, you know, maybe give or take a few years, but yeah. Our brand of hip hop is not necessarily what is at the forefront. There are a lot of lils, like, you know, I can start naming them, but I don't want to name them just yet. You know, I just want to see like maybe what's your perspective on it. If like you see any bright spots with them, even if you pay attention to them at all.
Yeah. I mean, with newer artists, I'll just say this. It's just not for me. That's the most respectful way I can say it. Like, hey, young man, young lady, get your money. As long as you're getting your money, I can't hate on nobody getting their money. But if you ain't getting no money and you're just talking some bullshit, what the fuck
are you doing? What are you doing?
Like, nah, man. I'm not about to be the famous meme guy. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to be the trending meme on Twitter.
Yeah.
That's funny. I've had to grow to get to that point because I used to hate on these little motherfuckers. I swear to God. Same. Like, yo, this shit is garbage. What are you doing? But I do see some of them are kind of sticking around and some of them are like making some real money. So it's like, honestly, I can't even hate on you, my guy. Like if you out here, you have a good following of people that'll stream your music, that'll purchase a ticket to your show. Like, all right, cool. I can't be mad at that. So it's like, cool. Go get your money, man. I respect it. The lyrics might not be shit, but I respect those.
And the thing is, like, one thing I'll just respect, say, you know, it's not for me, kind of like, you know, just saying what Fresh is saying, but I would respect the fact that they are the voice of their generation. I can't relate to anything that majority of them are talking about. Mm-hmm. Now, it was funny, and I'll give you, like, this story. Like, me and my cousin, he's 20 now, 21, somewhere up in there. At the point, he was 19. Now, I know you guys have probably heard of NBA YoungBoy. Probably never heard his music, but NBA YoungBoy.
I've heard of him,
He's huge. Like, NBA YoungBoy is, like, one of the top-tier guys if we're talking about the littles, right? But he's trying to put me on to his music, and I was like, nah, Jay, this ain't it. Like, I can't really – this ain't rocking for me. And then I tried to put him on Kendrick. He was like, Kendrick guy, I was so hurt. Like, I was like, what do you mean? But he was like, I'm 19 though. Like, this is what I like. I was like, respect. Like, that's how I had to leave. Like, but when he said Kendrick was all right in comparison to NBA YoungBoy, I'm not like Kendrick is a phenomenal elite rapper, but I'm not saying these guys give you music either. But it's just like
that's one of those car rides that ends abruptly where you just look at each other and you just pull the aux cord.
We can agree to disagree. Like, I love you, little cousin. That's all.
You're like, you're 19. I got the aux cord. Let me just turn this off.
Bump this Kendrick anyway.
I wonder. So that's so interesting because I feel like a lot of people your cousin's age feel that way. I wonder if it's a sound type of thing because in Kendrick's case and Cole's case, like they have a certain sound where. They are like they're rapping, but it's over a certain type of like beat. Mm-hmm. And I assume like these young like the Lils now are I feel like the majority of them have the same cadence over the same type of beat. So I wonder if it's like a sound type of thing that the connect is.
Oh, it's definitely there because I mean like even just kind of tying this thing to something current. Lil Baby dropped his socially conscious track. I forget the name of it, but I listen to Lil Baby, so I think he's one of the, like, he can actually separate himself from the rest of them. Mm-hmm. But that song over that type of beat, his cadence is, you know, the way he raps, the auto-tune that he uses is there.
Yeah.
So I can see why somebody would probably prefer that over a basic, I mean, not basic, but a traditional Kendrick Lamar or J. Cole track where they're saying the exact same thing.
Yeah, right. And that's something I appreciate about the Lil Baby track. Like he's making music for the time that's going on right now for that specific demographic of listener. Like Lil Baby and Kendrick could put out the same type of track, but it'll sound different. Kendrick's will be geared toward us. Lil Baby's will be Lil Baby's track will be. It sounds so weird saying his name. Lil Baby, Lil Baby's track will be geared toward the people your cousin's age, Ralph. So I that is something I can respect. I can respect that. Just not for me.
But I'm not bumping everybody's stuff. But Lil Baby is the one that kind of just popped out to me. But I haven't listened to a Trippy Red project, so you know you can miss me. Like I have nothing for you. Like I got nothing for you.
honestly, the only thing, the one thing I can say I do respect about Lil Baby, I could be very honest. I've never heard a Lil Baby record in my life, and quite frankly, I don't plan to. Mm-hmm. But I give him the benefit of the doubt because he don't put up with nobody's shit. Like, he can back whatever the hell he's saying, he can back it up. Cause I see him on Twitter beating somebody up. Like,
you know what?
Somebody out.
I wonder if he's confusing Lil Baby with Da Baby.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, I think.
See what I'm saying? I don't even know. Yeah, I'm on.
That's priceless.
Right.
That's two strikes.
You do.
I'm already fucking up.
Right, Fresh, my brother, you're doing all right, man. But let me ask you this. Let me ask you this too. Just with the year that's 2020, we still had a great year for music, and I would say, you know, still some gems out there. What do you think is maybe like some of your top projects that you've heard?
Honestly, I listen to a lot of stuff. Like I don't even particularly listen to just hip hop, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Of course, being Latino, like Snow the Product is one of my favorites. She anything she drops, I'm all over it. Okay. I think like especially for a female, she's a great representation of a female MC who can actually rap. Number one, and who brings my culture out to the forefront differently than when you hear when people say, if somebody were to put a ceiling on and say, oh, he's a Mexican rapper, it's a rap, because all you think I'm gonna be saying is essay and cholo every two fucking words, you know what I mean? And that's not really what it is, which is terrible. Joyner Lucas is one of my favorites. I love his music. I think I think he's a true MC. Logic is also one of my favorites. But as far as like a full project, I would say my guy Futuristic, who's also from Arizona.
Okay. I've heard of him. He's pretty dope.
Yeah, he's an MC. He does all kinds of different stuff. So I would definitely say as far as like full body project would be Futuristic. He just dropped his Still I Rise, which was reminiscent of his first album in 2015 where he popped off. So he just made like a part two in a sense. It's a really solid album.
He has like a really big YouTube page, right?
Huge, yeah.
Yeah, okay, that's where I know him from, because I think he used to go around like dressed up as an old guy freestyling to people. Yes, he's cold. He's cold. Yes, that's it. He's fire. Like, Futuristic is fire. I can't even front on that. I didn't know he put out a new album. I'm going to check that out.
Yeah, it's called Still I Rise.
Okay. Yeah, that's dope.
Yeah, it came out last month. Like a month ago.
Okay. Dope.
I'll be sure to look into those, because you know I'm always looking for something new.
Yeah, he's that cool, happy medium. Like, he does stuff that's new, right? Like not so much auto-tuning, but he really blends all the elements together really well, but he can still rap.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that to me is everything, because it's like I want to hear some, you know, similes and metaphors and like actually make sense. And he's a great storyteller. You know what I mean? So he has that perfect, and in my opinion, he has like that perfect mesh. And then also Travis Thompson. Travis Thompson he's actually native. Ooh. And he's very dope. He's from Seattle.
Okay. Yeah, I'm writing all this down.
I think you guys would dig both of them. And they're Travis Thompson is signed to Epic now. Futuristic wouldn't take a deal, so he's independent. But they're both awesome artists who I just feel because both of them started independent. Futuristic stayed independent, but they have like that independent grind that's almost untouchable. It's just that everything that they do is very dope, and it has a concept and it has meaning, and it's legit music. I would definitely suggest to check it out if you haven't. prior, you know.
Definitely. Now, outside of hip hop, what are some of your other favorite genres of music to listen to?
Jazz. I love jazz, blues. I'm a huge like Rat Pack fan. So like Dean Martin, you know, Frank Sinatra is a huge inspiration. Like, as a matter of fact, I don't know if you can see it, but got like his album right there, okay. Like vinyl sitting over there. I listen to vinyl. I'm an old head like that. So, I'd say classic jazz, blues, R&B, like classic R&B, like late 80s, early 90s. Classic rock. I listen to just about everything, even classic country sometimes.
Okay. Rap. Okay.
Because I just feel like if all I listen to is just hip hop, in a sense, I feel like that's also contradictory to what I stand for, because I don't ever want to put a ceiling on my inspiration or my creativity. So I always want to learn from all these greats, you know, from Muddy Waters to Frank Sinatra to Michael Jackson. Like, I always want to learn from the greats and study them, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, hip hop is an eclectic, I mean, you know, music any type of way. So I respect someone that goes outside of the genre to find that true inspiration, because you can get it from anywhere.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. So this has been a fire interview. And I have one more question for you, since you brought up Michael Jackson. This is a debate that me and Ralph have. We've had this before. So I want to ask you, Fresh.
Okay.
Off the Wall or Thriller? Pick one.
Fuck.
Ralph and I are split. So you're the tiebreaker today.
You know, I'm only gonna say Thriller for two reasons. One, that was around my time frame as a kid to actually understand and comprehend the music in that album. Okay. I didn't understand anything before that, and I was moving on to hip hop kind of after that, if that makes sense. Because Dangerous was really the last album that like really hit with me. But then you got to think about it. It was made. All the production was made by a hip-hop producer, so that's why I liked it. You know what I mean? But I understood at a young age what he was saying and what he was projecting with that album. Mm-hmm. So I'd have to say Thriller.
Okay. Hey, that's fair, but I stay on the side of Off the Wall. That's just my preference. And I mean, you can't go wrong, but I mean, obviously Thriller is the low-hanging fruit in the argument, and that's always why I go for the side. Like, let me argue the other side of it, right? But Off the Wall is just a phenomenal, it was probably the last of the great disco R&B type of albums, and that's something that I appreciated when I got older. Of course, you know, I grew up in the 90s, so my first really introduction to Michael Jackson is Dangerous, so then I have to go back, and then now I'm a Thriller head. Then let me go back, and now Off the Wall. If you ask me my preference, like, you know, I would say Off the Wall in this debate.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. A funny story about that is, like, Michael Jackson was one of my like biggest inspirations for music as a kid. I used to, I didn't have TV in my house, but my grandma had TV in her house next door, and they used to do these specials. I don't know if y'all remember on MTV where it would be like a Michael Jackson day, like when what's that album that came out? Or it was like greatest hits. It was
like the history.
History. Yes. Mm-hmm. And they had this whole special on MTV for like 2 days or some shit. Man, I never left the living room. My ass was imprinted in my apartment, sitting in front of the TV. Like, no lie. No lie.
That's what's up, you know? Man. That's dope. So, Fresh, we want to thank you for joining us, for interviewing with us. So before we sign off, leave the listeners with where they can find you on social media, where they can find your music, anything else you want the listeners to know about.
All social media, you can find me at The Real Fresh C. Website, if you want to get merch, t-shirts, CDs, all that stuff, therealfreshc.com. Ladies, I'm sorry. I don't have an OnlyFans, and I don't plan on having an OnlyFans, but my cousin does. So if you come to the show, I'll hook you up with my cousin, because he's all about that crazy shit.
Yo, anytime you come, if you come to a city around Missouri, like, or Illinois, let us know, because I'm trying to come see you perform.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I'm just waiting for this thing to end.
Yeah. Clear up. Pretty much we'll see you in 2021, brother.
That's being as real as you can keep it right there.
Right. Now, this was a dope interview. We just want to kind of end it on a high note. This was a great, great experience. We have to say thank you once again for coming on.
Absolutely. No, and definitely. I got to get you guys on my show. So after I wrap up this this release week, I'm going to be hitting you guys up. So
okay.
I'll shoot you a DM so you guys can have my number. And you know, I feel like it's easier to connect with people that way than social media. I'll be definitely hitting you. And thank you both for the opportunity to come onto your show. You guys are fucking awesome, man.
Appreciate you, man.
This has been an awesome conversation.
Yeah.
Dope. And we'll leave the listeners with your song Spaceship. And with that, that's special episode 14. And we out.
Peace.
You are so fast, I can catch my other. So fast, I can catch my riding in my spaceship. Something you're not used to do. In, letting anger out, keeping your feelings in doubt. On this intergalactical paper route. Wow, and number two, my number one in these lines. Poisonous sink leaks from emotional thoughts in my mind. See, it's the vibe I get when I'm on my own playing it. Reality doesn't exist in this environment.